Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Todd Tomasella. I've got Travis Bryan III on the line. Good morning, Brother Travis. How are
you? Good morning, Todd. Good to be here with you this morning.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. I understand the Aggies are having some real success down there at this point. Is that true?
Absolutely. I think we won the SEC regular season in basketball. Now we won the SEC baseball tournament. So we're making our presence felt in the SEC.
You know, I had a discussion with some young ladies that were a mixed crowd of Ole Miss and A&M and other southern universities the other day, and I was picking on them because here I am an LSU fan, and one of these ladies has on an Ole Miss hat, but I really had to publicly admit that the Aggies have the best fan base I've ever seen. And so we pay compliments there, brother. You guys are a genuine people down there.
Well, LSU's beat us 5 years in a row, so I guess we've got to have something going for us here, Todd, in football.
Well, you know, things can change real quick, so...
They could, but maybe this year, maybe next year, as the saying goes at A&M. Maybe we'll wait until next year, we say. That's what we always say.
Well, it sounds like you're operating by grace instead of law, and that's our subject for today, Saints, is the theology of law versus grace. And Brother Travis, as I read through this, it's apparent to me that many of us still operate in our minds according to law instead of grace. And I'm glad that we are here for a few moments to talk about that, because I think this is going to affect a lot of people in a really good way. You titled it The Theology of Blessing and Punishment, or Law, versus Theology, Cross, and Resurrection Grace. Amen.
Right.
And then you go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish up that.
Oh, okay. You started off by saying that the belief that God is speaking about God being primarily found in the brightness of the blessings he bestows versus belief that God is primarily found in the darkness of the sufferings he allows. Can you expound on that, brother?
Well, you know, I've read a lot by Martin Luther, and he called it the theology of glory versus the theology of the cross. And those are the two competing theologies in Christianity. There's only one valid theology. That is the message of the cross, theology of the cross. This theology of glory, or as I say in that writing, a blessing versus punishment, it leaves out any explanation of suffering in the life of the believer. And this fallen world is full of suffering, Todd. And when the person who's under law, or the theology of blessing versus punishment, walks out into the world and they're living a good life, they think they're stacking up pretty well behaviorally, and then suffering comes to them, they have no way to understand or explain that. And this is the great danger, Todd, in this prosperity gospel, which is another way of saying theology of glory, is they leave out the cross. They leave out any explanation for suffering, and they basically lead people to believe that if you're living a holy life, you won't suffer. If you have enough faith, God will answer your prayers, and you won't suffer. You'll be delivered from any evil. And that's just not the case. That's unrealistic, and it's not really true, Todd.
Well, it's not biblically. I mean, we see, that's not to say any of us are to the maturity of Paul, like, you know, basically I glory in my tribulations, but they're going to happen. Job said, you know, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I believe it's at the back of Haggai, where he says that, you know, is it Habakkuk? About whether the fig tree produces or not, still going to glorify the Lord and love him. And so we've got to realize that part and parcel with the Christian life is going to be suffering. I heard the story in the last few days. I don't remember the details about somebody got some kind of terminal sickness, and one of these word of faith dupes told them, you know, you just don't have enough faith, and just really a deep insult. So a point well taken, brother. And let me throw this in there. It seems to be a common denominator across the board that all false doctrine is a denial of Christ's cross and the one he told us to take up. You know, whether it be once saved, always saved, heresy, where people don't want to submit to Christ. They just want to use him, if you will, to get themselves, who they're really serving, to heaven. But they don't want to get to know him, lay down their life, and serve him according to his cross prescription. And so this rebellion that is causes people to be what Paul called the enemies of the cross of Christ seems to be, Brother Travis, at the foundation of nearly, if not all, heresy, brother. What do you think?
Well, I agree, Todd. And a couple of things amplifying earlier on what both of us have said. I don't deny there's glory, but the glory comes through the cross, Todd.
Yes.
Romans 8:17, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So there you have suffering and glory in the same part of a verse, because they go together. There is no glory except through the cross. There is no eternal life, or the life of God only comes through the cross. And when you're under law,
yes,
or this theology of God will bless you if you have enough faith, either way you go with that, there's no life in it, Todd, because there's no cross. If there's no cross, there's no life. If there's no life, a person cannot have a relationship with God and through Christ, and cannot live for God without the life
that
of God.
That is so important right there, brother. I got to ask us to stop right there, because that right there, Brother Travis, is such a mouthful and so essential. If anyone, and see what you think about this statement, brother. This is my observation.
Okay.
If if someone is promising, as I see most leaders do, you know, favor from God, all of these, you know, you're going to the next level stuff, but it doesn't include the cross, this is a lie. Only way
exactly
in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of economy is down. If God, if a man is under the influence and yielded to the Holy Spirit, and he's in some kind of servant leadership capacity, he is going to be telling his audience, you must die so that Christ can live.
Die.
I had a longtime brother in the Lord who I love dearly. Just this weekend, Brother Travis, I think I tried to relate it to you on an email, but I walked into a barbecue he invited me to, house full of people. He's just sitting on the couch by himself over to the side, and I said, hey, Billy, what are you doing? And he had tears in his eyes, and he said, brother, I've been reading about the cross from the ministry, and I've never, I mean, Billy's the most sincere, precious person, but I mean, I'd never seen him in this, I mean, he was just in a, it was just, God was all over him. There he is at a barbecue, and he's sitting over to the side. That message had affected him in such a way. He just grabbed my hand. He said, brother, what is the cross? I mean, he was just broken. It's just like he wanted
wow
me to explain what the cross was. God had captured his heart. And, you know, this goes with what I told you last week, Brother Travis. A good title for one of your books would be Ruination. This will ruin you, as the Southern folks say, in a good way. Once this gets in your heart, you'll realize, you know what, my life has to be anchored at the cross. And let me just say this, saints. None of us claim to have ever, as Christians, taken up the cross perfectly, but we have in the learning, in the understanding that we are called to the cross so that we can lay our sinful, depraved, nothing good to salvage, if you will, spiritually, self down at that cross on the mercy of God and let Jesus lift us up instead of doing our own bidding and working to lift ourselves up, Brother Travis. The only way up is down, right?
That's correct, Todd. And let me comment a minute on blessing and punishment. When you see God that way, when you see him as a God that if I perform well today, God will bless me. And if I sin today, I'm going to get punished. And in the long picture, you say, if I live for God the right way, I will spend eternity in heaven. And if I don't, I'll spend eternity in hell. This gets you off into error because here's the underpinnings of that, Todd. That is still self. You see, at the root of all that, self will behave in order to avoid punishment and gain reward, but it's still the self in there. And that's the devil's great strategy in using the law and making people think that God is a blessing versus punishment God, because he can keep that self intact in that theology. And there's no death to self in that, Todd. So,
Brother Travis,
if you
Christ
see God in a
too,
legalistic
right?
way as a blessing punishment God, then you're going to get off into this law theology that misses the cross and misses life, Todd. And that's really rooted in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yes, and where's Christ in that?
Where is Christ
I mean,
in that? Exactly.
Yeah. Amen.
It's basically there's no free will in it too, because all I'm doing is trying to avoid a threat, which really God doesn't threaten us. He loves us and invites us. But if you are operating under a threat from God, then you're not really exercising free will, and it's all self, Todd.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we pray that this message and opening up this biblical topic will help to dig down deep and unearth some of these notions and philosophies we have so that we can be blessed to cast down these vain imaginations and see God elevate Christ in our hearts, that he is magnified. You know, the scripture says in John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1:17. Brother Travis, we have a better covenant based upon better promises, according to Hebrews chapter 8.
Absolutely, Todd. And back to that verse, John 1:17, that you just quoted.
Mm-hmm.
Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, the word truth could also be translated reality. Grace and reality came by Jesus Christ. That verse is setting the two poles. That is a very polemical verse. And on the extreme pole on the left, you have the law given by Moses. And way over on the other pole at the extreme right, you have grace and truth, grace and reality in Jesus Christ. This verse would smack of the fact that there was no reality, no real truth before Jesus came. Think about that one for a while.
When the veil of the temple was rent, Mark 15:38, God came out to meet us on an individual basis, didn't he, brother?
Absolutely. He opened the way to intimacy and fellowship and relationship. We don't have to stand back away from God in fear of a threat anymore. We can draw nigh to him, right into the Holy of Holies, Todd. The whole thing has been opened up by the cross.
Amen.
And the
Amen.
Love of God exposed to us through the cross.
Blessing the glories of a new covenant in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Praise the Lord. He says on that note, Brother Travis, come boldly, come confidently, because Christ has shed his blood before the throne of grace so that you may obtain mercy. That must mean if you have sinned, God has taken care of that in the covenant with Christ, if you will, with the blood of Jesus. And so you can come boldly to be forgiven and obtain grace to help in time of need, grace, divine enablement to overcome. So you can come and receive fresh forgiveness and divine blessed ability to live in a way pleasing to God in relationship, in an abiding relationship with Christ. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. And on that note, I want to encourage the saints of Christ to learn the book of Hebrews by reading through it numerous times to see the contrast between the old and the new covenant. Praise the Lord for our Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Travis, and what he gave us at the cross.
Amen, brother. I'm reminded of a photograph that was taken back in the early 60s of the war room during the Bay of Pigs incident, where the whole world was on the brink of nuclear Holocaust. And JFK was down in the bottom of the White House in the war room down there, and the door was open, and apparently somebody with a camera took a picture into that room where Kennedy was in there with all of his generals and his highest officials plotting and planning what would we do about this standoff, nuclear standoff with Russia over Cuba. And down on the floor, Todd, was John, the little baby crawling around JFK's son in the midst of this crucial world situation. And the writer of the book depicted that and said, that's us in the Holy of Holies. That's us in there with God, with Christ. We're his child. We're right. We're welcome right into the inner sanctum of holiness for intimacy with our Father, Todd. And I just thought that picture was a great illustration of what we're talking about here.
I guess he had no worries, did he, little John?
He had no worries whatsoever. He was just crawling around on the floor having a great time, not worrying about anything.
You think we got a heavenly Father we can rest in, brother?
There's no question, Todd. If you read the parable of the prodigal son, that is our Father right there that Jesus describes.
Yes, exactly. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because we need a revelation of God, Brother Travis, and I would highly encourage the saints of Christ to take Luke 15 today and read it. You see three parables that illustrate the restorative love of God, the disposition, if you will, Brother Travis, the posture of God toward his children. He saw his son coming up far off the horizon. That means he was looking for and expecting him to return. I love Psalm 86, brother, verse 5 and 15. It's a life changer. That's Psalm 86, 5 and 15. It illustrates, in coupled with Luke 15, the love of the Father and the disposition of God toward his children. He's not willing that any should perish. By the way, that includes you and me, not just the guy that's never been saved yet. That's foremost, first and foremost, his body. For thou, Lord, David writes, art good. What is he? He's good. He's good in his intentions, his outlook, his disposition toward his people. He's good. He's ready to forgive. The only reason why we wouldn't be forgiven for sin is that we didn't come before the throne of grace, robe of his righteousness, again, down into the blood of Christ, and have it all cleared up. It's Revelation 19, 7 and 8, his bride has made herself ready. She's got her garment clean. Again, Revelation 19, 7 and 8. The only reason why I would have a spotted garment, Brother Travis, is that I'm carrying a sin I don't have to carry. I could confess it. The new covenant is perfect. It provided for initial regeneration, becoming a new creature by the miracle of God, and all the sins washed away, not only initially, but ongoing as needed. If any man sin, I write these things to you that none of you sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the greatest defense lawyer in the world, could we say, Brother Travis? I'm talking to you as a defense lawyer.
That's what I did for 35 years, Todd.
And now you're a judge here, so what a blessing. But he says here, Brother Travis, he's good, he's ready to forgive, he's plenteous in mercy, not lacking, but abundant in mercy, unto all them that call upon him. That's the key. And then verse 15, real quick, but thou, O Lord, art a God full, not empty, but full of compassion, and what gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Now, when we get to the end, we better have an unspotted garment, saints, because Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but one that's holy. And the true wise virgin believer, Brother Travis, is what? He's staying cleansed. He's continuously submitting his life to the Lord according to the prescription that he gave us, which is the daily cross. And in doing so, he's saying, he's confessing any sin and having it washed away, right?
Absolutely. And the key to that story is he's in the prodigal son is that the Lord Jesus is teaching the elder son, which were the Pharisees, that viewed God as a performance-based God, that if we earn and work in the fields and keep all the rules, that God will bless us. But if we fail in that and sin, then he will punish us and not accept us. And that's why the elder son is so mad when the father graciously forgives this younger prodigal. He's so angry, he won't even come into the feast, won't share in the fatted calf, which is Christ crucified. He remains outside and is lost, Todd, by his own view of God. If we don't have the proper view of God and his grace and mercy, we will never gain that unspotted garment, because living under a theology of blessing and punishment will always lead to destruction. That's why Paul said, those of you that think you're justified by law have fallen from grace and are alienated from God, severed from God by your own view of God and what he accepts and what he doesn't accept. Galatians 5:4, Todd.
Amen, brother. And you know, some of us have, after, like the Galatians, having been justified by the Lord freely, as Romans 3 says, we have gone back to struggling and striving in the flesh to be sanctified by the Lord, Brother Travis. We've all struggled with that. There's a lot of teaching out there. I know you address this often, that says, you know, you got to turn over a new leaf. You've got to try harder. But what is the real biblical solution to overcoming and walking in a place with the Lord that he designed us to walk in, Brother Travis?
It would be surrender, Todd, and faith, and trusting God, saying, I can't do it, but you can. I'm going to let you. And dying to self, getting out of the way, letting it go, Todd, and letting God have control of your life. But see, that is a scary proposition to the legalist, because he's used to being in control and using God as a puppet. God, if I do well today in your sight, you must bless me. That makes a puppet out of God.
Yeah. He's attributing God's acceptance, forgiveness, and relationship with his own performance, right?
With his own performance, that's right. And you can do this with even repentance and confessing your sins. You can make a puppet out of God, thinking he's got to do this and that. If I engage in these repenting and confessing, then God will do what I want him to do. And that's not correct, Todd.
Well, and what he's doing, what we do in that regard is we are foolishly and falsely believing that we're meriting God's mercy and favor and grace instead of Christ's perfect work on the cross one time.
Exactly.
Having merited that place with God, which is really a spirit of Antichrist that puts us in place of anti in place of Christ. You see, it's a spirit of Antichrist, which John used that very phrase, that has gotten a foothold in our lives and therefore our thinking. Listen, folks, all of our righteousnesses, every one of us, are as filthy rags, and Jesus did not come in vain, as Paul spoke about in Galatians 2:20 and 21. He came for a reason, because we had no hope. We were alienated from God without hope in this world, and it's only through the sacrifice of Christ that we have access to the Father, not only initially, but ongoing. God is working in us both the will and the do of his good pleasure, and we've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's why, Brother Travis, I think this is a real important discussion. Now, you talked about how the law versus grace believes God's throne is a throne of judgment versus belief that God's throne is a throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16.
Absolutely, and I believe that God's throne, there is a judgment, but it's found in the cross, Todd. That the cross is the center of our relationship with God, and when you see God as a God who dies for you to accomplish judgment, you can believe into that and become part of that. But when you see him as a threatening judge, like an angry cop sitting on a bench somewhere, then you're not going to trust that God. You're not going to be willing to present your body as a living sacrifice to someone you don't trust, Todd. And there won't be any renewal of the mind. Romans 12,
well,
1 and 2.
Amen. He already judged sin on the cross, right?
Exactly. And
he already
And the two thieves are representative. One rejects the cross and one receives the cross. The two thieves on either side of Jesus. The one that said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He exercised faith. His entire life had been spent in sin. But in that one moment of time, he cried out to Jesus. He wasn't water baptized, Todd. He didn't get a big long confession out. He just said one thing. Remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Amen. We got a couple of minutes, Brother Travis. How do we see that playing out in today's theology in the modern church, brother?
Well, I think that the churches are filled with elder sons, the prodigal story.
Oh, yeah.
Self-righteous people who don't open their heart to those that are down and out, those that the lepers of society are not welcome in church today. And you know, young people see that. They see the hypocrisy in that. And they don't want to go into a church. Many of them will follow Jesus, but they won't go to church because the churches are filled with Pharisees, Todd.
Yeah,
many of them are,
brother. I told a brother yesterday, longtime friend and close brother in Christ, that I was praying that God would tenderize my heart afresh, brother. Just tenderize it. Give me a heart of flesh. In this life, sometimes we can become hardened. I love the remake of the song, at the cross, I surrendered my life. I'm in awe of you. And I believe perhaps God is calling some that are listening, and I know he is me for sure, to come afresh to the cross where Christ paid the full and complete price for our sin. It cannot be added to, Brother Travis. It is finished, isn't it? It's paid in full.
It is finished, and we have all of God wherever we're going to get through the cross, Todd. But he doesn't have all of us he's ever going to get. We've got to let him take over our entire heart and fill our heart with his love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. And that will dramatically impact how we treat other people when we see God that way. And then our garment spots will be removed, Todd. We'll become perfect in love by realizing God's love for us.
You know, when you're saying that a little, it's one of the ways the spirit of Antichrist manifests as we close here is that people think, well, I'm going to go to Jerusalem so I can feel God better. No, God's calling us to just come to the cross. We don't have to leave.
Right.
He owns the whole universe. He says, come to the cross. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden under law, and come unto me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless us to fear thy holy name and to rest in the completed, perfect, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Todd.